I was reading through the Bible recently, and I came across a scripture that stopped me in my tracks. I would like to turn there with you right now. Normally, I start out with a little bit of a more of an introduction than that, but please turn with me to Psalm 90, and I'll be reading verses 9 through 12. I don't remember exactly how I wound up turning here. I just did. It was maybe a week or so ago. That's Psalm number 90, looking at verse 9 and reading through verse number 12. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finished our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. On the face of it, this is maybe a little bit dark and grim to think about. But what caused me to stop was that last verse, verse number 12, to teach us to number our days. Our lives are actually quite short. And the product of our time in the short number of days that we have is, as we read here, labor and sorrow. And of course, we live our lives with the short time that we have in the fear of God. It's a reverent fear. It's not a quivering kind of fear. But that fear is not without substance. We know that God will punish the unrepentant sinner. And that is something that should be present in our minds as we go through our lives. And within this open prayer that we read, that last verse that I read gives us a way of overcoming this grim reality that we face, of living a life that may not be full of pleasure, living a life that, if we don't turn from sin, suffers a penalty of death. We read that we are to number our days and gain a heart of wisdom. This is what made me stop and think. This is an instruction for us, and it gives us a way of letting us know that we need to be very conscious of our lives in the context of God's plan. We can't just go through our lives and live in a way where we're not conscious of how God works in our lives. We need wisdom. That is the point. And we can't have wisdom without being conscious of how God's role works in our life. We do not have much time. And that is the point that's brought out here. And what are we going to do with the time that we have? That is the question that I want to answer for myself personally. It's a big one. And of course, that is what I will be looking at today in my sermonette. Turn with me to Psalm 39, and we'll read verses 4 through 7. Psalm 39 and verse 4. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man at his best state is but vapor. Selah. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches, and he does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. When we sit down and number our days and really think about how many we have in front of us, we can come to the reality, as brought out here, that they turn into nothing. They really do. As much as we might like to think otherwise, at our best state, our lives are but a vapor. It's here, it's gone. In the context of the history of the universe, it's nothing. And what do we do in this brief moment? Do we get involved in vain pursuits? Are we trying to build something and do something? Are we trying to make a difference in this world? Steve Jobs was quoted as having the ambition to make a dent in the universe. And he's now dead, but a lot of his observers would say that he succeeded in that. He built a big company that has influenced the world. But that's not what the Bible says happened. Nobody has made a dent in the universe. No human being has made a dent in the universe. If there's one person who's made a difference on an eternal scale, it is Jesus Christ. That's it. It is naive to think that we can build something in this world for ourselves that makes a difference in this world. If we are trying to do that without God. And that's the point. That's the whole point. What's the solution then? We need to work on our relationship with God. When we read about learning wisdom, it's not worldly wisdom that we're trying to learn that will help us to overcome this short life and the limitations of it. When we talk about having hope, where is our hope? Our hope is in God. That's where our hope is. That's where we need to find a meaningful path forward in the few days that we have on this life, on this earth. Now, after thinking about this, it's easy to sit back and think like, man, why bother? My life, of what value is it? If I am not really producing anything that is meaningful or lasting, whether I am poor or rich, what can I really do with my time? It's easy to think that our lives might not be valuable. Turn with me to Luke 12, and I'd like to read verses 6 through 7. The exact opposite is true. Luke 12 and verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Even though our lives are short, even though what we might build for ourselves is nothing, even though our time alive in these bodies are but a vapor, it turns out that our lives are still extremely significant. They're extremely significant to the one who matters the most, and that is God, the Father. He knows us individually. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows the troubles that we go through. Every little thing in our tiny, insignificant lives is something that God is aware of. He cares so deeply for us. He loves us individually so much that he allowed his Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth to be sacrificed for our sake so that we can be part of his family. That's the wisdom that we need to have. That's the understanding that we need to be conscious of. Our lives may be very short, and the value of our work, what we produce with our hands, might be trivial. But if we want to pursue something meaningful, if we want to pursue enduring value in our lives, the wise way to live is by being conscious of our relationship with God. our hope is in him. And it turns out that his hope is in us. What should we do with our time then? Turn with me to James 4, and we'll read verses 13 through 17. James 4, and verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This describes how we need to conform our thoughts. If we live in a way where we are fixated on the producing a temporary product, making a profit in this world, and seeking some kind of endeavor without God, we're in trouble. Our lives are short, and we need to be conscious of our activities. What are we trying to get out of what we are doing? We need to keep in mind that everything we do, every activity, is in accordance with the will of God. We can do nothing unless God allows it. If we make decisions to do things, thinking that we have time to seek our own will without seeking God's will, those worldly, fruitless, selfish, and frankly prideful activities, those things without God, those accomplishments, they are nothing. Those are the things that turn out to be sin. It is. Now, when we are conscious that our activity is something we are doing without God, that's where we turn to having a problem. And that's what this scripture is all about. It's interesting to see how the concluding statement is made here. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is evil. That comes in the context of seeking our own will without God. And that is what we need to be aware of. When we take action without seeking the will of God to do good, it is sin. We must be conscious of God in our lives and choose to act according to his will. We must be conscious of God in our lives and choose to act according to his will. That is where we can transform our thoughts and live a life that is actually fulfilling, that has meaningful value. The product that we are making, the activity that we might do, it could be identical, right? We might go to work, we might build something, we might do something that is, maybe we're building a huge company, maybe we are raising children, maybe we are building a relationship with one person, maybe we're just working on our relationship with God. But that activity that we do, if we are conscious of the fact that it is in accordance with God's will and we are not seeking our own will without him, that's the good work. That is how we need to transform our state of mind about how we act. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 1. And I'd like to read verses 22 through 24. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, or better, to translate that as begotten, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. Knowing that our physical lives are very short as we number our days, what's the most valuable way to spend our time and energy? As we read here, we need to be living our lives in a way that expresses love. Love of the brethren, love of God. That's the pinnacle, as we know, of the expression of obedience to God. We prove that we love Him when we obey His law, and we know that love is how we fulfill that. We live also in appreciation for what we have. Whether rich or poor, we all have the very same opportunity. And that opportunity is to use the moments that we have before us, every single one of them. We can squeeze as much out of these moments as we possibly can. As long as we're conscious of our relationship with God and how what we do is in accordance with His will, those moments are well spent. That's how we live our lives. We have to remember that this moment, right now, is a gift from God. Every moment that follows from right now is a gift from God. That is how we number our days. We number them as gifts. It is up to us to make these moments count.